You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, my guest is Debbie Smart. Debbie is a past life regression therapist, born and raised in Australia. While living there, she experienced her first past life regression, which dramatically changed her life and fueled her passion for healing herself and others. In Australia, Debbie held numerous past life regression workshops and maintained her own successful private practice. In 1992, she moved to Washington State, where she met and married her soulmate, James, and today continues to practice past life regression hypnotherapy. You can find out more on her website, which is interdimensionalhypnotherapy.com. And of course, you can always go back to the show introduction, which has her to her show bio, and that link is there at all times until BBS no longer exists. So let's welcome her to the show now. Hi, Debbie. How are you?
Good, thank you, Lance. Lovely to be here.
Oh, good. Wonderful. Well, what did you learn from your very first past life regression? I mean, what happened?
Well, I just went through a divorce, and it was probably several years later. There was still a lot of triggers and a lot of stuff happening. And I just got to the point where I thought, something's got to give. It doesn't matter what I did forgiveness programs and all sorts of things, and I just couldn't shift all the triggers that were still happening between my ex and myself. And so I finally had the opportunity to have a regression, and coming to find out that that past life regression was, there was a lot of stuff going on in that regression, where I was born into, it was in Georgia in the 1800s, and I was born into slavery. Yeah.
Oh.
And it was on a cotton plantation, and the what I called him, the Lord and Master at the time, of that cotton plantation, was very mean and nasty, and I was taking care of the two children in that home, and my mother, who was also there, she was the cook, and I decided that I'd had enough and I was going to run, and I did. So I did
this.
Good for you. Like any normal person would, you know, after a while you can take so much, right?
Right.
So I did this runner, and as I was running through the field, I turned around and I saw a whole host of guys with rifles and dogs chasing me through these fields. And the next minute I know, I saw my body falling down where I was still standing.
Mm.
And I was thinking, great, they think they got me, but they haven't. But what I did witness before I left that plane at that time was I saw them beat my mother to death.
Oh, and,
gee. Yeah, so that brought up a lot of anger and towards, you know, the person. And then in this life, I married them.
So what?
He became my husband in this lifetime.
Oh, I see. And he was in your past lifetime?
Yes, he was the one who owned the cotton plantation, who instigated me being shot and beating my mother to death.
Really? Now, how did that work out?
Well, obviously it didn't. But the main thing what I learned from that, actually, at the end of my regression, was that I learned that I chose him to learn forgiveness.
Oh.
And in order, yeah.
Of course.
So in order to really, truly be able to forgive someone, it has to be something that's pretty unforgivable, because it's got to come deep. You know, we can forgive people for little daily mishaps and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to something really that deep, it takes a lot to be able to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
And once I realized that I had chosen that situation, and that I had chosen to relive it to learn the forgiveness again in this lifetime, all the triggers shifted. And when the next time I saw my ex-husband, there was just nothing. There was no emotion. There was no triggers. It was gone. It rolled up and was completely gone out of my body. And I just thought, it just changed my life. And it was so profound that I thought, I really want to do this for other people. And that's what took me on that journey.
Wow. Well, that's a really powerful experience. And, of course, it does bring up the idea that we can't really judge a book by its cover because, you know, here you are, formerly a slave that was being treated horribly. And so looking at you today, somebody that was black might think, oh, she's just a white gal. She doesn't know anything about slavery. And, of course, today we don't know as much about it, but in a way, the whole planet is enslaved. So it's just a different appearance of things. And, of course, those horrible things have to come to an end. And they're still going on, I'm sure.
Oh, of course. Especially in other countries, too. And, you know, what I've come to realize just through working with all these clients that I have over the years, that we do all choose our own experiences. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we still have compassion and everything, but we realize that people have choices where they're born, what parents they choose, and, you know, to overcome certain parts of their evolution, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
Did you find that all your clients had experiences that indicated that they actually chose, before they incarnated here, the experiences, more or less, that they were going to have?
Yes.
Wow.
Which is really interesting. And that usually comes right at the end of a lifetime when I ask, you know, how does that past life fit into this lifetime? And what was your soul's purpose in that lifetime? And what is your soul's purpose in this lifetime? And they can see the connection because at their point of death, all the conclusions that they make about their life is carried on into the next.
Oh.
So I usually ask, what did you conclude about yourself at your point of death? What did you conclude about your life at your point of death? And some people are basically saying, you know, it's so different. Everybody's got a different story.
Right.
But a lot of the time is, oh, I really feel I wasted that. If I had only done this or done that, if I'd only learnt forgiveness or if I only learnt understanding or wisdom of this or whatever it was that they were meant to do, their timeline was shifted. And what I do actually at the end of that past life, when we come to that wisdom and understanding of it, I ask them, had you learnt whatever the virtue was that they came in to embrace in that lifetime?
Mm-hmm.
Say if I said, had you learnt forgiveness in that lifetime, how would that timeline have been different? I'm going to ask your higher self now to open up that timeline, had you made a different choice? And they get to see a whole new life unfolding just from that one choice and one virtue.
That's really wonderful.
That's amazing.
It is amazing. Do you find that there are some common purposes? I know everybody at seminars always asks, well, what's my life purpose? And it's either that or they want to know about a soulmate. Do you find that there are common purposes in this life incarnation?
A lot of the clients that I have, their sole purpose, a lot of the sole purpose is to help this planet at this time, either with healing or with, different modalities, or even just going out and working, like even in the soup kitchens or whatever it is, whatever needs, wherever they feel that they're drawn to help at this time. I'm finding a lot of people that I'm dealing with right now coming through for that particular time. And to do, to help at all the changes that are going to be coming on, and the shift in consciousness is really evolving so fast now that people's stuff is coming up to be addressed. I'm finding that people now more and more are saying that they never really were drawn before to do anything, but they really feel that something's holding them back. They feel they've got some blockage. A lot of people are having issue coming up that they've been suppressing over their lifetime. And I just find that a lot of this time period right now is bringing up everybody to see the real truth about where they're at.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you ever get information about what actually is happening in this period of time?
You mean through my clients?
Yeah. In other words, If they come in to help the planet or to raise the vibration or to help out or whatever, is that reason that's being given backed up with some kind of explanation about what is happening in the next, 10 years or so.
I normally don't push them into that future vision, but what I do normally do is ask their higher self to bring through the gifts that they need in able to, you know, live out that purpose.
Mm. Okay. But clearly there has to be a reason why so many people would be coming in to shift the space.
Yes, because I think that this is time, I think ever since the shift in 2012 happened, mm-hmm. that the consciousness and the awareness is being raised, and we are looking forward to a greater future. But in order to have that greater future in consciousness, a lot of shift and changes have to happen. And so I think a lot of people chose to come in at this time to help bring that through in whatever mm-hmm. way they can, you know, do it.
Well, it does seem that there almost has to be a tipping point, because it's almost like a struggle between, let's just say, the white and dark T-shirts. And mm-hmm. it, you know, and I've been watching this for a long number of years, not long in relation to the scheme of things, but it does seem that the situations that are being thrown at us are increasingly dire and threatening. Mm-hmm. And if you project the kind of future that holds, it doesn't look promising for humans. And so, but you also have people becoming more aware. And it does seem like a shifting landscape. It's just hard to get a grasp on where that's actually at beyond our subjective experiences.
That's so true. And a lot of the time when I'm asking, when I'm asking that individual in that regression, how can they help? I tell you, 90% of the time is to do the inner work. And when people are clearing their own issues and are starting to raise their vibration, it was basically some of the things that have come through, it said that when there is more of mass, people have done that, mm-hmm. it's going to automatically have great effect in the frequencies and in the quantum field, and mm-hmm. it's going to also help bring about those changes.
It's my understanding that even one person shifting their inner world that actually changes is exponential and affects the whole collective.
Yes, and I even noticed when I was working on myself through those years with my children, every time I healed an aspect of myself, I saw it reflect out in my children.
Wow.
I noticed it started to settle down, they started to change, they were happier. I didn't realize what I was holding was actually emotionally and physically affecting them.
Mm-hmm.
Until
mm-hmm.
I saw it change.
That it may radiate out into the projection that we are creating together.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's not too pretty.
No,
you know,
it's true.
That's kind of like the collective mirror for the human soul.
So that's why they're saying that our children really teach us, you know, what we need to learn as well, because they reflect back to us
mm-hmm.
in every moment, you know, where we're at. And I just find that right now, a lot of people's issues are starting to come to the surface. And the great thing about that is it gives them the opportunity to heal it and clear it, so that they can actually move forward more, and raise their frequency and their consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
If we're carrying all this baggage, how can we make a shift? So we actually have to make the shift within ourselves, remove the baggage and the blockages that are holding us back and our frequency down. And once we do that, and we do that as a group consciousness, as a collective, you can imagine the changes that are going to occur.
Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely. I mean Well, it'd be kind of like being in a hot air balloon and you're just kind of lifting these heavy sandbags over the side, which is your own stuff, and sooner or later it gets lighter and lighter and you lift off.
That's so true. That's a really good analogy. Yeah. I just notice also, a lot of people come in with relationship issues.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because, 90% of the time, around the relationships, they get to see where their karmic ties are and what their issues are that they came in to heal together. And I had one just recently, it was probably earlier this year, that I thought I'd help both. I did a regression with the guy first, and then I did a regression a couple of days later with the woman. And I get this phone call, and it's like the very morning after I had done the regression with the woman, I get this phone call saying, she woke up this morning and she's so angry and it's the end of our relationship and I'm packing up and I'm moving out. And I thought you're supposed to help us. And I said, whatever it was that kept you both held together, mm-hmm. because we were having a lot of issues. Mm-hmm. Once those issues were cleared, obviously they were no longer meant to be together. It was time for them to shift and move in different directions. I saw a huge change in this person. When he moved away, he stepped into his own power and he's doing some amazing stuff now, amazing healing and everything. So it was holding him back from stepping into his own life purpose.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's funny because I've found even early in life that if you're in a relationship that seems to be going downhill, that is the only direction it's going to continue. And once you recognize that tipping point, that it's wise to cut your losses and just separate, because everything from that point forward is going to be worse, and that you will live after a relationship, even though there may be tears of sorrow, they pass fairly quickly.
Mm-hmm. Especially once you get if you did a regression around it and the reason why you were together and you got the wisdom from it, there wouldn't be any resentment or anger around it anymore.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, because how can you feel resentment in the situation that you chose, mm-hmm. Literally chose on this plane, and probably chose before you even incarnated? So yeah. It gives you a whole different viewpoint when you look at it from your eyes, looking at it from the idea of an incarnation, and that this was all planned out in no time.
Exactly. And people, don't like to take responsibility a lot of the time. And but once they get the wisdom and understanding that it doesn't put them in any blame, what it does is it releases them, because they realize, oh, I chose this experience, but the wisdom from that is now it's going to shift me into a greater timeline. I'm getting more opportunities open up. I find people's lives change. Doors of opportunity, once they clear their baggage, different opportunities and doors open up and they shift into into a better timeline.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree with that, and I also can see why it's difficult for people to let go of global issues. For instance, there are a lot of things being done by the elite or the the Illuminati or the power control system or whatever you want to call it that are extremely negative, and they're designed to further enslave and control us and microchip us and this and that and the other thing. And the laundry list is too long to even mention. But how do you work with that situation as opposed to one where an individual is working with, say, a soulmate or a person that they're with? Do the same rules apply, that you chose to be here at a time when the power control system is attempting to permanently eliminate us as viable units?
The only thing I can basically say about that, Lance, is that most of the people are coming in now, a lot, not everybody, I'm saying, just people are now that recognizing that they've got looking for their sole purpose. And there's a lot of people in the healing modalities. There's so many more different ways now opening up for helping people, that the choice of coming in, the majority of healers at this time, mm-hmm. is to try and make changes and help people to get through it. The sad thing about, the archons and the control and the elite, it's been very slow over a long period of time where people have just given their power away and they just believe whatever the powers that be want them to believe. Mm-hmm. And so the fact is that, people now are starting to wake up more. And even though the thing is, I just can't get myself buried too much in all of that anymore. I used to get really upset about it, because you feel like you've got no control over it. And so the only thing that you can do is to do the inner work, help mm-hmm. other people, be there for other people, do as much as you can for the planet at this time. And that's the best we can do at this point. I'm sure that, you know, the consciousness is really raising up so much more in the last 10 years. And you would notice it, Lance.
Mm-hmm.
How many people are starting to question what's going on in the political arena and stuff like that. And all we can do is say, work on yourself and heal that within you and be a light to others.
Right, right. Well, that's kind of what I did. I mean, I'm like you. I kind of went through the years of anger and resentment and how could they be doing this and, you know, so on and so forth. And, well, they have the money and the power, and they've been doing it for hundreds of thousands of years. So, you know, why act surprised about it? Just separate, let go of your attachment to what other people are doing and mind your own business and work on yourself.
Yeah, work on yourself and help others as much as you can.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you for adding the part that counts.
Yeah.
Now, when you work with people, is it typical for clients to be able to identify numerous past lives and how they might be connected?
Yes, yes. Mm. And I find also the feedback I get back from a lot of my clients, you know, most of the time, I'm just doing one past life at a time, but sometimes there's multiple lifetimes will show up. Mm. But I basically now ask for the root cause, because if you go right back to the root cause of when something happened, it's like a domino effect. When you clear that, it wipes out all the other past lives that you lived, continually carrying that forward because you still hadn't cleared it. So you've relived it and relived it so many times. Sometimes, though, it takes 2 to 3 sessions to get through to all the layers that are still affecting. And I just find that people are starting to, because they get the wisdom from it at the end of it, they get to realize, they get these realizations about how that all fits into this lifetime and how it has been affecting them in this life.
Mm-hmm.
And I always say to them, for the next 2 weeks after your session, you're going to be having little different issues showing up in your life, and those realizations from that past life, you're going to go, now I know why that happened. Now I understand why this is. There's more. It doesn't stop. The realizations and the movement and the clearing is a continuous thing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you live in Australia. You might have heard of Steve Richards, who invented holographic kinetics. And I had one of his practitioners visit me from out of state, and she gave me several sessions with that particular modality. And what we found out was that in the previous timelines that had to do with my parents and their parents, there had been some kind of contract made by a reptilian or an alien life form, and that contract was still in place. So they call up that entity, and then that entity is removed, and then you get to rewrite what the story around that particular timeline. So some of the people that they've worked with, the interruption of their life goes back hundreds of years, and you can imagine what clearing out something like that might have as a domino effect on everyone coming since then.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you've ever run into any contract situations or if it's even necessary in the work you do.
I have.
Oh, you
and
have?
Definitely. Definitely. And one of the major ones just recently, well, earlier this year, I got 3 clients in a row, one after another, that had all been abducted. And the one specific person, she had made a contract on another planet with these aliens.
Wow.
In order to save her, you know, to save whatever that situation was right back then. And they were still harvesting her in this lifetime. And so we had to, so I got them, like you were saying, that process. I got her to do a whole contract revocation and revoke that contract and that agreement through all timelines, past, present, and future, and through all dimensions, universes, and galaxies, so that cleared every aspect so that they could never get her again.
Yes.
And that
Yeah, that's wonderful. How often do you come into contact with past lives or experiences that are on other planets and with aliens?
A lot.
What are some of the more interesting ones?
Well, there's one client who I've done several, she keeps coming back obviously, just to find out, I suppose, more what's going on in her life now. And it takes her back to these other planets where she was an alchemist on one planet and she accidentally blew it up.
Oh, yeah, I've heard things like that before.
So there's some karma. There's karma there. She's been, she's been on another planet where there were mantis beings actually highly evolved that were training her in the wisdom and spirituality. I'm just trying to think of some of the other ones and planets. I had a really interesting one, and I've had the agreement with the person that did this, said that I could bring this onto air, and this person was, he came down from, he didn't name the planet, he didn't want me to name the planet that he came down from, but it was in the 18th century where the Black Plague. And he came down intentionally and consciously with another person or another being to come down and find the cure. And he did find the cure, and it was in the Bermuda Triangle on an island there. There was these sacred trees that had these special seeds, and they crushed the seeds and it healed people instantly. Mm. And so they took it out. Mm, it was amazing. And so they took it out to the public, to the people, and people were healing. They took it to the Vatican, which was the worst thing done, and caused the Vatican, the Pope wanted nothing to do with it. It was heresy. It was witchcraft. No, that back then they were killing people for healing. And so they escaped from there, and they knew that their time was limited, and they raced back to that island, and they crushed up a whole lot of more of those seeds and put them into time capsules and had them dropped off to different areas. And then what they did was they called in the whales, and the whales opened up a portal, and one whale took them back through to their planet.
Wow. That is really interesting.
That was amazing. And
yes.
That's when I realized that whales are multidimensional.
Oh, yeah. And I'm pretty sure dolphins are, too.
Yeah. So, it's there's these amazing ones that come through. And, and right now this person has had several regressions with me where it's opened up all those gifts. Mm-hmm. And so he's now doing reading Akashic Records and doing some amazing stuff because we got all his gifts brought back through.
Now, when the soul incarnates, is that just one aspect of the higher self that comes in to do a job? For instance, I read somewhere that when you come in, you choose the percentage of empowerment that you need to have for this lifetime, and sometimes you make the wrong choice and you kind of run out of gas before the end of your life. But is that like the spark that jumps off and comes into this life to accomplish something? That's just one of maybe a group of the same soul group?
Mm-hmm. Yes, because I've also experienced where they've also, when a person is at the end of a past life, what I do is I get the individuals that affected them in that past life to stand in front of them individually one at a time to find out what the lessons and that are. And the first time I ever did that, the person goes, "Oh, it's me." And I went, "What do you mean it's me?" And it's going, it's another aspect. I split off into two souls to have this experience. And so I don't know, I'd say that we can split off into multiple souls for multiple experiences in multiple timelines. Mm-hmm. I just don't limit anything anymore.
Right, that makes a lot of sense. And then have you been able to ascertain what the forces are that are motivating those who are basically working for the dark T-shirts?
I don't really get too involved with it, with the dark. I try to stay more focused. But what I do is, what I have noticed over a period of time is when people have come in with attachments, because there are people having attachments of other beings attached to themselves and whatever, and siphoning from them, these dark forces, they can only attach themselves to a negative emotion. And I've noticed a lot of the time when people have come in for a healing, with a regression, and we're doing the healing at the end, and I'm asking the higher self now to go through and dissolve all the negative emotions, all the negative experiences in that lifetime completely out of their cellular memory, mm-hmm. and completely out of their energy field. So, and as they feel, they actually feel this frequency coming through their body. I'll give them a visual of the different colors that are coming through, and they can actually feel this energy coming through and dissolving it out of all of their cells. They can just feel this heat coming through their body.
Mm.
And so there's nothing, the entity, you know, the attachment can no longer attach itself to it, and I just ask it to leave and go back to source or wherever it needs to go.
Wow, that's really beautiful. I think that's encouraging for people to hear that it is possible to have that happen. And, of course, ideally, in an ideal world, we wouldn't cling to our negative emotions and wouldn't express them in the first place, because there's no real source for them to exist. They're kind of conjured up out of nothing, and then they have a life of their own.
Yes. And we do, and sometimes also, you know, when people go into depression and they have dark thoughts and stuff like that, mm-hmm. they can also create, because we know that we create with our mind our reality in every moment, they can create thought forms, you know, shadow forms as well. And so, you know, we clear that also. I ask the higher self what else needs to be cleared, what else do they need to know that will help them right now, you know, in this lifetime. As well, and they get a lot of inside answers at the end of the past life. I find that healing is the most magical time. It's not really looking at the picture so much of what they experienced in the past life, but you know what they can do now after they've released whatever the negative emotions were, or the pain, or whatever the lesson or the wisdom that they needed to embrace, and how, you know, so what can they do now in this point in their life that will help them move, you know, exponentially forward. I ask them to open the doors of abundance or bring back in their gifts of healing or whatever it is that some people are asking for.
Wow.
I get them to give me a whole list before I even take them into a past life of all the things that they feel that is affecting them in this lifetime, or emotions, or what they'd like to change in this life. And so at the end, when I'm working into a deeper level, because by the time they get through that past life, you know, the scenes and everything, and they come back to the end of it, and we're going through the healing, I can ask the higher self all those questions, and they can give themselves all those answers.
Right. That seems like it would be a tremendous tool for people to be able to use.
Yes, it really is. It's very healing and very enlightening.
I noticed in your bio before I put it up on the page that it mentioned that you were involved with Dolores Cannon for a while. What was your association with her, and did you watch her as she worked, or did she work with you, or?
Didn't work closely with her. I did her courses, but the interesting thing, what I found, Lance, I had been doing this work for 25 years prior to doing Dolores Cannon's work, and found that over the years my techniques have evolved to such a point that it was very similar to what she was already doing.
Interesting.
And I also, yes, and it's evolved even more. And people who originally started out with Dolores are finding now that, you know, because she did this technique 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And she became quite rigid with the technique. It was like that she had rules and regulations, like, you know, you can't give hypnosis to anybody under 18. She had lots of little rules and regulations.
Uh-huh.
And it's interesting because before I ever did her course, I, you know, my girls, I regressed from the age of 12. You know, I've even had an 8-year-old, and I work with teenagers, and I've worked with quite a few teenagers now that are, you know, some have been, well, suicidal, and and come to find out, you know, where that's originated from. It's changed their whole life. And so I just found that it's, you know, her work was fantastic and her books are amazing. That what she's come out, what she's learnt from doing the regression work and what she's written in her books are absolutely incredible knowledge. And it's ancient knowledge that's in her books. And mm-hmm. she was a really wonderful, wonderful person. She's passed. She passed this plane several years ago now. And her daughter is taking on, you know, taking on and keeping it going. But there's another group now that were originally with Dolores and were very, very close with Dolores. They're now calling it Beyond Quantum Healing because Dolores Cannon's work is called Quantum Healing Hypnosis. Mm-hmm. And they're going beyond it because as consciousness raises, everything evolves. And all the processes and everything, you know, back then it was different. Now you can take it to deeper. You're taking it to other planets. You're taking it to, you know, other beings on other planets. Like I've had people, when I've been giving them past life regressions, looking at themselves as a mantis being. And insectoid beings and all sorts of different beings. And I'm thinking, well, how come they're in a human race now, you know? And so I have, you know, you can't have limitations to anything that's evolving consciously. And so I love her work, but it's evolved. And I've evolved it even further. And at the end of my regressions and everything, I get them to release and understand all the contracts that they had with every individual in that past life and what agreements they had and to release them.
Mm. Well, that seems like another really wonderful tool to use, which I guess one can do on one's own, but it's always nice to have somebody empower you that knows what they're doing. And it certainly sounds like you do know what you're doing.
Well, it's been almost 30 years now of doing this work and seeing it grow and evolve and people, you know, like even when I met Andrew, right, the people I started working with that had been working with Andrew were up another level to the people I was used to working with.
Mm-hmm.
And so you grow and evolve with everything that comes to you. And I also work with my inner guidance. So when I'm taking a person into a regression and I'm relaxing them into hypnosis, I relax down into that same state with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm accessing that my inner guidance to ask all the questions and to bring it all to fruition so that they can get to their greatest healing and understanding, because that's where I think where it needs to go, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Not just clearing some issues, but get the deepest wisdom and understanding from it.
Right. And I also remember when I did the Galactic History interviews with Andrew that he mentioned that in one or two of them that there would be a tremendous need for healers at this time. And that certainly has played out and is true. That it's going to be necessary to have, you know, more healers than we have ever had on the planet before.
And that's why I'm so jazzed when so many people come to me, and I'm asking what their soul's purpose is in this lifetime, and it's to heal, or you know, to help or to raise the consciousness. And it's exciting because I understand we do need a lot of healers. We need a lot of people from all different modalities. They all work. And, you know, people get drawn, I think, through their heart to what's going to work for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this my work may not be for everybody, but, you know, that guy that you just mentioned, his modality really worked well for you. There's so many different modalities out there that people will get drawn to what really is going to help them to their greatest.
Right. I was curious when you were talking about regressing people, if you ever have people that come in with sexual issues, identity issues, like, you know, are they male or female or are they both or whatever, because there seems to be quite a bit of that going on with young kids saying, well, I'm really a male or I'm really a female, and they're in the opposite body. Have you come across that?
Yeah, I have. And it's funny because, well, it's not funny, it's just interesting that they've had so many lifetimes as a male, and for whatever reason, they've crossed over into a female body, but they haven't lost all the desires and the feelings of the man, male.
Wow, that doesn't sound like the best combination.
I know, but they've also been women abusers. And now that, and so they've come in feeling like the male, but in a woman's body to get to. I don't know whether it's karmic because, you know, they've been, you know, because they've abused a woman, so they've come into a woman's body, but also stuck in a male energy.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
It is interesting. And, you know, I've had to work with the higher self on bringing some balance, you know, to bring some balance for them to so that they don't feel so confused, but that they can use, but, you know, to make the choices that's going to be most beneficial for their highest good and their spirituality. Yeah.
Mary Rodwell has, I had her on the show not too long ago, and she wrote a wonderful new book about the new kids that are coming out. Of course, the new kids have been coming in for over 100 years. You know, they started by being named indigos and crystals and this rainbow children and the rest of it. When they ran out of names, they decided that, well, we shouldn't be labeling these kids anyway. But she interviewed one young boy who was about 8 years old, and he apparently had some kind of very advanced technological skills working on some kind of craft. And when she said, oh, can you tell me what you did? And he said, oh, no, Mary, you wouldn't understand it. So there are people coming in from other planets and other skill sets that are here to truly hunker down and make some drastic changes. So we could see some extremely dramatic shifts in technology for the big, for the good as well. It doesn't necessarily all mean to be bad.
No, it's interesting you brought that up because my grandson, when he was 5 years old, my daughter was looking over his drawing and he was really, really concentrating on this. And when he finished, he said, this is the new energy machine. It's free energy.
Oh, good. It's, you know, we should have had free energy a long time ago. And, of course, most people are aware that the corporations have locked it down and are using it for themselves, as they do everything that they fund and research. And so, really, the planet has been kept in a kind of a state of status quo. And so the only changes that seem to get made are, you know, changes that are cosmetic changes, pretty much. We don't see the drastic changes from using oil and fracking and the rest of it to free energy. We see cosmetic changes to cars where you might be able to have a camera that looks in the back and is, you know, fancier gadgets. But the basic the basics have not changed in quite a long time. And technically, we should have had flying cars by now.
Yeah, and it's all to do with greed and power and money.
And that's absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's, unfortunately, the money situation has been tilted in the Monopoly game so that all the money basically gets hoovered out. I mean, if you put, everybody puts their money in a bank, and of course the bankers are the ones that are doing a lot of the shenanigans, and the money's hoovered out every night. There's a sweep of all the banks, so they don't even have the real money in there. It's just transferred to these devices that they can carry around that keeps track of the totals that they need to know.
Yeah, and that's why they want to control the people because, you know, they wield the gold right now, and so they've got the control and the power.
Yep.
And they're certainly not going to let that out of their grasp, and that's why, you know, they. But what they can't do is they can't work and they can't control our consciousness. And even though they're trying in every which way they can to bombard us with all different frequencies and through TV stations, you know, subliminals and all that sort of thing to keep you asleep. There's a lot of people that still are asleep, but I think that they're gradually starting to wake up now.
Yes, yes. And, of course, the next big rollout of energy modulators is the 5G network.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was watching a program not so long ago where the person was saying it's not everybody's thinking it's, you know, it's going to be a really bad thing, and this one particular teacher or whatever was holds themselves up as a teacher, was basically saying that they felt that the 5G was a good thing, because with every, like 3G, when 3G came in, you know, we all, our bodies adapted to the frequencies. When the 4G came in, we raised our frequencies and adapted to the 4G. And they're feeling that the 5G is just helping us to raise our frequency up to a higher state again.
Well, that is something to consider. And, you know, that would be in alignment with the concept that, which many people believe, that we are shifting into a fifth dimensional reality. But I've never held that as a belief system, because I have done enough work on dimensional issues that I know that we could be moving to the 13th, 20th, or 100th dimension as far as that goes. So it almost seems as if that whole 5D thing has been created to keep us planted in our thought forms, stuck in a limitation that is just a bigger sandbox.
Exactly. I can remember someone saying way back when, and I'm trying to think who it was now, but anyway, it was somebody years ago that I heard saying that Christ consciousness was a limitation, because he only rose his consciousness up at that time to the fourth dimension.
Absolutely.
So a lot of people going, oh, I just want to, you know, get, if I get to Christ consciousness, I'm all there. Well, that's a limitation, because.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I love it. I'm glad that you brought that up, because I don't work with that energy either.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't limit it. It's to take it up to the frequency to whatever we can. You know?
Right, right. Because, you know, it's infinite and eternal. So, I mean, why limit yourself?
Exactly. It's interesting how, you know, these things come out to try and keep people suppressed.
Yes, absolutely. Well, there is, of course, a whole segment of the operating system that controls the planets. You call it the Matrix, if you will, that is establishing the New Age movement and seeding ideas through that particular form, as they are seeded through all forms. I mean, through churches, religions, politics, anything you can imagine. They are seeding ideas to control and manipulate. And yeah, go on.
But like same as in 2012 when they were going on about the end of the Mayan calendar.
Mm-hmm.
And they're putting out fear, you know, into the spiritual groups as well.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people thinking, oh my God, I better get some food storage, and I better do this and that and the other, because it's going, you know, the end of the Mayan calendar might be the end of the world.
Right.
And it's just the end of an age, and it's a new beginning. Mm-hmm. You know, shifting into a new consciousness and a greater consciousness. So, and it's funny because I happened to be over in Peru at the time. And in Palenque, where all the Mayan elders were doing ceremony for the end of the 2012, on the 21st of December, and they were all bringing in, you know, shifting out of the, you know, out of the old age, and opening up the gates to the new.
Wow, that's wonderful to hear that, because that's kind of like what you said about don't be set in your ways about. You know, how you do things, you're mentioning Dolores Cannon, and too many rules and regulations will restrict you to the point where, you know, you're basically there's a stranglehold on you.
Mm-hmm.
So I noticed that when I was working with crystals, I read all the crystal books, said, well, you have to do this and you have to do that. And I thought to myself, well, I could do it this other way. And so I just did it the way that I thought would work better for me. And that seemed to work.
That's why we have to trust our own inner guidance, our own inner knowingness, and instead of stop giving our power away to all these outside figures and go within. And I know that when I do my own meditations and everything is where I get my answers.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm working with people through regression and their higher self is coming through, the information they can get that they can give themselves, no one else can give them that. Any better than what they can give themselves. And I always...
Yes.
And the thing is, the kingdom of heaven is within.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all within us.
And I would take that maybe a step further in that literally everything is within us, that anything you can conceive of and imagine or question or anything that comes up that you want to know, it is already inside of us, and we already are know within ourselves. All you have to do is be able to find that place in the field where it exists, and it's there.
Exactly. Exactly. There's and the wonderful thing, too, about the work that I do is that a lot of people do get lost. Mm. And they get so caught up in their emotional life or the pain and the depression and whatever. And so once they've gone through and cleared whatever it is that was blocking them and creating some of that. Are you okay?
Yes.
Okay. When they get that realization, that's so freeing, and that empowers them. And a lot of people got back to me after they've, you know, gone through and cleared all those things, and a few months later have said, my whole life has changed. You know, I'm empowered now. I don't let anybody, you know, hoodwink me in any way, shape or form. And I just say, well, do it with grace. But don't let other people just, you know, trick you into doing anything or trying to empower you to do what they want. But to go within yourself and ask whether that is, you know, going to work for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Debbie, we're just about at the end of the hour, and so there's about maybe half a minute left. And I thought if you wanted to mention anything that you are doing in terms of events or your website before we sign off, this is the time to do it.
Well, thank you very much. It's been wonderful talking with you. I've been away in Australia. I'm back in Washington State now. I've been away Australia for, you know, several weeks now, and I just got back, so I need to get back into my website and start updating it. I don't have any workshops going on at the moment. I haven't had any requests. I was thinking about maybe doing some just group regression work for people in the local area of, you know, Olympia, Washington State, but that's about it. But you know, feel free to call me or contact me through my website and make any inquiries or any questions. I'm open for all of that.
Well, wonderful. Well, I want to thank you for coming on the show. You've been a terrific guest, and I've learned a lot from talking to you. And maybe you'd be interested in coming back in the future, too.
I'd love to, Lance.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Debbie. I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your wisdom with us.
Well, thank you for having me, Lance. It's been really enjoyable. I love talking with you.
I love talking to you, too. All right. People are going to think this is a love affair. And it is. I love all my guests, and they love me. So I just want to thank you again and say goodnight, everybody.